Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the home group meeting today for the 25th of August. Wow, can you believe this year is more than halfway over? And it's been some year. I mean, I have seen things in my life this year that I thought I would never see in my lifetime. And it's just amazing that the things that are going on in this world. So thank God we have our trust and our hope in God. And as long as we trust and obey, the Lord will take care of us. Amen. That was the song we just sang. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. But as our routine, we always go ahead and we look at what we looked at last time we came together to get our spirit and our heart pointed in the same direction. And so we will look at that first key that we need in the wilderness of Beersheba as Hagar, she had despair. And that was what we looked at last time, was despair. And that was that first key. Between the wandering that she did and Ishmael did, between the wandering and the discovery, those hidden treasures that we looked at a couple times, those hidden treasures that God has for us, there are two keys that we must have to come to those discoveries. And as I said, the first one was despair. And we must not have a lot of things if we want to hear from God. Let me say that again. We don't need a lot of things in our life and a lot of baggage in our life if we are going to hear from God, because most people have a lot of things and their life is caught up in all the things that they have, and they rarely get a chance to hear from God because they have those 40 camels and everything is well with their soul and all of these things, and there's no need for God. But when we're in an area of despair in our life, it's funny how all those things kind of disappear. And the next thing you know, we can hear from God if we really reach out from our heart. The third point that we looked at last time is things in God are to get us into the wilderness. So even our Christian experience, so once we get saved and, we have this wonderful Christian experience and we feel wonderful and we're walking with God, as I said last time, the first place we're heading to is the wilderness. We're not headed to heaven. We're not headed to here or this ministry or that ministry or whatever. The first place God must take us is to the wilderness so He can teach us, so we can learn some lessons and things, and so He can prove us and he can qualify us for things that He wants us to have. Amen. So things that God gives us or get us into the wilderness so we can learn of Him. As Hagar was given a little water and a fifth size of bread and just enough to get her and Ishmael to the wilderness, and then God did a work, as we will see later in that life. The fourth point we looked at last time we came together was God must separate us from our bounty, because in the wilderness we make one of our greatest discoveries. And that is our weakness. In the wilderness, one of the greatest discoveries we will make is how weak we really are, how we have no strength, we have no ability without God. And if God can never bring us to that point to where we do not have, all the things, the intelligence and smarts and talents and all of those things, if God can't bring us to the place to show us that we don't have all of that apart from Him, then can never be able to use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. So in the wilderness, God will separate us from all of those things that we have so that He can show us our weakness. The fifth point is some Christians refuse the wilderness part of our Christian living. Many Christians will say, oh, no, the wilderness is a place of sin and I don't want to go there. Well, that's not true. The wilderness is not a place of sin. The wilderness is a place where God sends us, gets us alone, and He gets us to a place where we can scream and nobody can hear us. And it's a place of learning and developing. And if we never get there, then we will miss out on all that God has planned for us. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the sixth point is one of my favorite verses, that we must remember, who is this that coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? But it says who? And that who is us. If we allow God to take us to the wilderness, then we will be that who person. We will be that person coming up. So we don't stay in the wilderness, but we will go to the wilderness many, many times. But we don't stay there and we don't live there, but we go there only for learning. And these times of troubles and hard situations and all these things that we think that are bad, well, God will turn those around to be good so that He can teach us those many things. So who is He coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Only when we lean and learn on our beloved, which is the Lord, can we find those riches and those treasures that God has for us. Mm-hmm. The only way to find those revelations and those riches and those treasures that God has for us is not in a denominationism and religion and all of those things, but they're only found in going through the wilderness and leaning and learning and allowing God to work in our life, because that's where the treasures. They're not on the ground. They're in secret places in their dark. And the last point is despair leads us to our next key. Despair leads us to our next key. So despair was a good thing in Hagar's life, and believe it or not, despair, if it's used properly in our life, it will be a very, very good thing in our life. We must not get stuck in despair, but we must allow despair to get us into the wilderness so that God can teach us some things. Amen? So tonight we'd like to go ahead and look at Wilderness Roots for Modern Times, number 80. Wow, 80. Psalms 5 and 3. And what we're going to look at is adjustments. Adjustments. So Psalms 5 and 3, the text we take off from, it says, "My voice," and this is David talking, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up," and will look up. And that word, "and will look up," is translated adjustment. So, Lord, you will hear my voice in the morning, and I will direct my prayer unto thee, and that automatically assumes that God will talk back, and He will make His adjustment. So whatever God tells Him to do, then He's going to adjust for that. In our Christian life, adjustment must constantly and always be a part of our, of our daily experience in the Lord. Adjustment. We must constantly be making adjustments in everything that we do in the Lord. One of the greatest needs of our walk with the Lord is to adjust. Let me say that again. One of the greatest needs of our walk with the Lord is for us to adjust to what the Lord wants in our life. Many times we just want to go ahead and do what we want to do, or we just don't want to do what God wants us to do. Now there's a difference there. Us doing what we want to do, that comes out of selfishness, and us not wanting to do what God wants to do means we recognize what God wants us to do, and we don't do that. We don't make that adjustment. I think God is probably maybe a little more upset at us when we recognize what God wants us to do and we just don't do it because we don't want to adjust to what God wants in our life. After our discovery of our own weakness, the next key comes into picture. And that second key is adjustment. We must adjust to our meager supplies. And that's one thing that Hagar had to do. She had a little bit of water and she had a fifth size of bread and it wasn't much, but she had to adjust to that. Once we discover that we do not have enough, we must then direct our steps accordingly. Wow. Most Christians need to adjust to what God is doing in their lives. They do, they need to adjust to what God is doing in their lives. They do what they want to, and then they often ask God to bless that. So in other words, instead of God saying, "Okay, Dave, I want you to do this," they go, "Well, God, I really kind of would rather do this, and will you bless me in that? Or will you come alongside me and help me?" But that's not the way it works. God gives us our marching orders, and we must adjust to what God wants in our life. This means that we cannot attempt to depend upon our own limited supplies. Even the supplies that God gives us, we cannot depend upon those limited supplies. Neither should we continually gaze upon its inadequacy. So there's two things moving there. We cannot attempt to depend on our limited supplies, and we can't look at the limited supplies that we have. That's what a lot of people do. Our direction must be adjusted toward the Lord. So we don't look at what we have, and we don't look at what we don't have. We look at the Lord, and He will go ahead and see us through. Then we discover the wonderful relationship of leaning heavily upon Him. Hagar had no opportunity to lean heavily upon 40 camels loaded with supplies. If we have such an opportunity, there will be no learning to lean on our Lord. So as I said earlier, the more stuff we have, the more friends we have. You mean God will separate us from friends? Yes. Anybody that God wanted to use in the Bible, He had to separate them. Moses, Jesus, anybody that was ever used of God, God shunned aside. Paul spent 3 years in the backside of Saudi Arabia to receive that wonderful message of grace through faith. And so we have a lot of friends to lean on, and this pastor and this brother and this sister, to lean on when we have hard times. Well, God's going to have to separate us from them so that we can learn to lean upon them. Many Christians say, well, why am I going through this dark journey, by myself? Well, that's where God wants you. He wants you alone so that He and He alone can go ahead and minister. And that is a really, really tough time. If we have such an opportunity, there will be no leaning or learning of the Lord. With meager provisions, Hagar soon discovered that she was in a place of need and despair. This is a great discovery. This is a halt between those two opinions. And what I'm talking about is your adequacies and then your inadequacies. So there's those two opinions, and what do you look at? Well, you don't need to look at neither of those. You need to look to the Lord who has everything. Either we will look at what we have or what we don't have. That is human nature. The spiritual side of us looks at God. And we say, I see I don't have enough, and I don't have enough, and you've taken all of this from me, so now I have to look at you so that you can provide me with what I need. What is surprising about it is that it took Hagar so long to make that discovery. She should have known her supplies were insufficient before she left Abraham. Well, she's going to be sent out into this desert of Beersheba, and she was given a little bottle of water, and she was given some bread. Genesis 21:14 kind of bears that out. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it under her shoulder and the child, and she spent away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now she should have realized, hey, wait a minute, I don't have enough water. I don't have enough bread. I'm going to die. But maybe she should have told Abraham, I need more food. I need more water. But if the story plays out, we see maybe Hagar knew something. Maybe she knew something, amen? But if that was me, I would have said, if it had been me, I would have said, hey, are you going to, what are you trying to do here? Of course, it would spoil God's intentions and plan. Wouldn't we all run the ultimate fulfillment which God had in mind if we could always have everything that we need? Amen? Mm-hmm. We would always spoil what God has in mind for us if we always have what we need. So that's why we don't get a lot of things, believe it or not. We get, the things that God wants to give us, because if He gives us everything that we want, then there'll be no learning, there'll be no development in our life. And He will go ahead and He will just give us only those things that we need. That's what when it talks about when Jesus was talking about, give me my daily bread, in the Greek that is translated, give me the bread that I need for today. give me the bread that I need for today. And that's what God does. He gives us the bread that we need for today. Not the bread you go ahead and start warehouse up or whatever. Or if you go into our bathroom here in the house, you open up the door, you want to see tons of toilet paper from the shortage there, you know. Well, you know, that's not what God does. God just gives us just enough bread to help us to make it just for today. Amen? And that's the way that, you know, that He would like it. If we could have all that we want, then we would just destroy God's intention in our life. Remember, every promise of God is conditional. Let me say that again. Every promise of God is conditional. And it is only His intention. Every promise of God is conditional. And it's only God's condition. It's not automatic until we meet the condition. One of the most important words in the Bible is if. If. If always sets the condition for meeting God's promise. If you do this, if you bless me, I will bless you, but if you curse me, I will curse you. The word if is the most important word in the Bible, and it always sets the condition for receiving something. But even that promise, those precious promises that we find in 2 Peter, they are only God's intention. God wishes none to be lost, no, not one. But we know that people, the Bible says, that hell spans its borders daily. So it's God's intention for everyone to be lost, but not everybody is saved. The only way that you can be saved, the only way that we can receive those blessings of God is when we meet the conditions that He has for us. Every promise in the Bible has a condition. I remember my grandmother when I was growing up, she had a little promise box, a little box about that big, and it had all the promises on these little cards. So every morning you'd go over there and she'd pick up a promise and she would read the promise and close her eyes and stick it back in the box, you know. Well, you know, that little promise box on the back needed the condition. You know, that's the promise, but on the back you had to look and see what the condition that she had to meet to go ahead and receive that promise. I'm afraid today we just like to read the promises of God. Well, you know, do you think God is looking at the promises? No. God is looking at us if we have met the condition so He can give the promises to us. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, so we must meet those conditions. This is why getting our way is so dangerous in God. Yeah. Wow, I'll let that think in. Mm-hmm. This is why getting our way is so dangerous in God. Because God cannot work on us, and He cannot work on our need. And that's why when we're raising up children, that's why it's so good not to give children everything that they want. Well, that's the same principle with God. God doesn't give us everything we want. As we would go ahead and give our kids everything they want, we would spoil them, and they would just be little monsters. And our kids were not raised like that, so we must be very, very careful, and we must meet those conditions that God has for us to meet. If not, we will go ahead and not be useful to God. We will disqualify ourselves for service. Amen? Hagar did not seem to have good foresight. When it comes to the spiritual life, we also can lack foresight. She took that Abraham offered her and went with Ishmael into the wilderness. There she wandered, but soon, Genesis 21:15-16, and the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Now this is a mother who loved her daughter, so they probably went maybe a couple days, and she drank all of the water, and she probably ate that little bit of bread, and then she put her son under this shrub, and she went and sat her down over against him a good ways off, because she didn't want to see her son die. And as it was a bow shot, which was a pretty long shot, I mean, a bow can go a long ways, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Wow. When we move in our own provision, a funny thing happens. They always run out. When we move in our own thinking, in our own ways, and our own talents and our own abilities, a funny thing always happens. We always run out of that ability. I'm going to get kind of deep here, amen? Then is when we start singing the blues, nobody knows the troubles I have seen, and so forth and so on. If we move in our own strength, we're always going to run out of our own strength. Hagar experienced dire need and despair, which was a good thing though. She had just enough water and just enough bread to get her into the wilderness. And then she came into that despair and then she saw her need. It was an absolute necessity. The foundations making this experience possible was the meager provisions. Wow. The foundation making this experience, this near-death experience, was the meager provisions that Abraham gave her. With great provisions, you may never discover your real need. Hagar needed God more than she needed water and the most essential elements of life. This one discovery becomes the basis to other discoveries and all that God has for her and for us. Our greatest need is not more things. It's not a bigger house, a bigger car, a better job. You know, it's not more wisdom, more knowledge, more favor. You know, all of those, even all of those spiritual things that, you know, I need this spiritually. I don't want to speak in tongues or do all these things. That's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is God and His riches and wisdoms and favor that He has for us. Those things, the revelation, those things that He has for each and every one of us. We used to sing, "I want to dance like David danced." And so I would always sing, "I want to dance like David danced." But if you want to dance like David danced, if I go David before the ark, then you have to go through the things that David went through. Because no one can duplicate the things that David went through, and because of what he went through, that he was able to dance like that. We also would sing another song that says, "Abraham's blessings are mine." Well, you know, I thought growing up, I don't want Abraham's blessings. Now, Abraham's blessings are wonderful, but that's not the blessings that God has for me. I want the blessings that God has for me. Abraham's blessings are fine for Abraham, but I want the blessings that God has for me. Amen? Yeah. Example, let's say you start your Christian walk with 8 ounces of, 8 ounce bottle of, full of faith. Because of your health and wealth, you never need much faith. Then your supplies of health and wealth suddenly vanish. You discover that your faith is not sufficient to carry you through. In desperation, you seek the author of faith. Wow. You discover the fountain. The fountain of water. You draw from that well, and the bottle of your faith you once carried is forgotten. Wow. It is like do we want to eat the fruit of the tree, or do we want to eat the root of the tree so that we can produce the fruit? We often in our Christian walk want to eat the fruit of the tree, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, all of that stuff. We just want to get a low lying piece of fruit, joy, wisdom, it's so good. But I will tell you, there is a root to that tree, and it will be better to dig that root out and eat that root and let that root become a part of you inside, and then your life will produce that fruit. You will become a tree. Instead of eating the fruit, you will become a tree that will produce the fruit. And there is a huge difference there. Now, most Christians would rather eat the fruit, because everybody likes that, but it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of getting to know God and allow God to work in your life and deal and judge in your life to be able to you become that part of where you will be able to produce that fruit. Our bottle full of faith and grace does not carry an unending supply. We may experience a situation more difficult than all of the bottles, leaving us empty, destitute, and in need. When we make a discovery, we don't have as much as we thought we had. With hearing from God, even our faith, what we thought we had, will run out. Now think about that for a second. Even when we hear from God, we think we have this faith, you know. Hey, I have this faith right here. This is the faith that I have right here. Now I'm going to tackle this situation with this faith that I have. Well, faith is not mine and it's not yours. And when we really think about it, we have no faith. Because faith is of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then the Greek, it says, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. So we have no faith. We can't store faith up. We can't put faith in a bottle. We can't, you know, box it up and I'm going to need, oh, my car broke down, so I'm going to have to break up my faith that I have in reserve. Well, that's not the way that works. When we hear God speak to us, then we get faith. Faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. Matter of fact, when we hear God speak, then we will have all of the faith that we need. We won't have the faith that we need in the little bottle we got right here. That's going to run out. We just found that out. But when God speaks to us, and we're going to have all of it. Matter of fact, we will have everything that we will need to do that which God wants us to do. We're going to have the provision, the faith, the wisdom, all of those things will come to us. Amen? Any person can have infinite patience if his patience requires only a little output. So if we have 2 ounces of patience per day and need only 1 ounce per day, then, we think we have an infinite, we have an infinite patience. Another way to look at that is, it is like sick people know what health is. Sick people, they know what health is because they have lost that. They have a good understanding. I like this thought here. People in God's will never are looking for God's will. People in God's will that are doing what God wants them to do are never looking for God's will. They're just doing what they feel God wants them to do. So many people struggle looking for God's will. And I would say it's not that difficult as long as you're not over in sin. As long as as long as you're not over in sin, whatever you're doing, then it's God's will. Because God doesn't set us up for failure. He doesn't try to trick us. He doesn't, well, I'm seeing if I can just trip Dave up here. I'm going to see if Dave's paying attention here. And I'm going to see if I can get Dave out of my will. But no, he doesn't do all of that stuff. So whatever we're doing, wherever God has us, and as long as we're not over in sin, whatever we're doing is God's will. Wow. Okay, I was going to get a little deep here, and that's, needs to be, amen. But let us get into a place where we need 4 ounces per day of patience. Wow. I got a bottle of 2 ounces or 1 ounce, but I need 4 ounces per day. Then what? Then there's a discovery made, the discovery of weakness and insufficient supply, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing, because then we go, I do not have the ability, I don't have the strength, I don't have the patience, I don't have the faith. God, you have to give that to me. It is better in God to know our weaknesses than our strengths. Some of the Christians want to know what their strengths are, and this is my strength, and this and that, Well, that doesn't carry you very far in God. If you want to get very far in God, ask God to show you your weaknesses. Show your weaknesses, and then there's going to be some developments in your life. when our patience or our faith runs out, what do we do then? What do? When your faith, you know, I have this bottle of faith here, and I have this bottle of patience, and I got 4 ounces, and I got 2 ounces, and all of a sudden I need 6 ounces or 7 ounces, and now it's run out. Now what do I do? Well, we get into the wilderness with our little bottle. This contains whatever God's grace and wisdom dictate for that particular time and that place. Whatever we have, whatever we move with, will be very limited. The reason behind the limited supply is your focal point. We focus upon that which God has given us. God gave me a little bit of faith and gave me a little bit of grace or whatever. This must mean, or it must be adjusted. What God has given us must be adjusted. God Himself must be our focal point. So no matter whatever we're going through, no matter whatever it is, even spiritually, you know, it's not about what God has given to us. It's about God. God is our need, and our focus must be adjusted to where we are adjusted on God. The Lord sends us with that limited, He sends us with that limited supply. And as we go, we have it all, more than enough to see you through. At least it gets us into the wilderness. The supply has fulfilled its purpose, but it is soon spent. And isn't that true in life? We have this one day we had this wonderful session with God, and it's so wonderful. The Spirit is, we're just raptured and ready to go to heaven, Then the next day, we feel like we're on our way to hell. We have bad attitudes and stuff like that. Well, that's okay. When we have those bad attitudes and things like that, that is God showing us our heart. And is showing us for how He wants to work in our heart. And oftentimes He will give us those raptures, those wonderful feelings and stuff. So, as a place where He wants to, get us to. Amen? But we see all of that is soon spent. And then our crying the blues, and we begin to wonder what is going on. Well, when we go, when we go anywhere for God, He does not load us up. Oh, no. He only gives us just enough to get us on the way. The rest is found in the going. So, and I have learned this all the years that I have traveled. God has given me just enough money. He's given me, just this and, just the strength, just the ability and stuff like this to get me going, to get me on the airplane, get me on, get me where I'm going. And the rest of the stuff that I need is found in the going. And that is the same way with Hagar. God gave her from Abraham, just enough water, just enough bread to get her into the wilderness. And of course, we're going to look at, there. But Hagar had to find the rest because she cried out to God when she was in the wilderness, and she had to find the rest to keep her alive in the going. And that's the way that God gives us just enough to get us on the way. And the rest is found in the going. Where is my faith and my love? Your faith and love is spent. Now you discover you do not have all of the faith and love you thought you had. Listen to what Paul said about that. Galatians 2:20, tremendous verse here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, notice, by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Did you get that? Not by my faith. We don't live by our faith. We don't have any faith. We really don't have any faith. The only faith we have is when God gives us faith. I can go into story after story about that. But right here it says that He lives by the faith of the Son of God. He lives by God, the Son of God's faith, who loved him and gave himself. Amen? Amen. But by the faith of the Son of God, we must get this faith from the Son of God. That's how Paul lived. Not by his faith, but he lived by the faith that God gave him. Again, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the Greek, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. Because when we hear God speak, then we will have everything that we need. Some parting thoughts. Paul discovered that his faith did not hold him as well and as long as the faith of Jesus Christ would. I think that's another great discovery that we can make. Our faith is only so little, and when it all is said and done, we seem to run out of faith. But if we can stand in the place of the faith of the Son of God, that is an endless, it's ocean full of faith. And Paul found that out. Now remember that Jesus said to Peter, why is it that your faith endured just a little time? Of course, in Matthew 14:31, and that was quoted in the Greek. We all have faith, even in the natural, which is where most Christians, believe it or not, move in God. Most Christians move in God in their natural faith. Like, sweetheart, you're sitting in that chair because you have faith that chair is going to hold you up. When you get into an airplane, you have faith that the pilot is not going to, you know, run the airplane into a mountain. So we have this natural faith in ourselves. We have this natural faith in science. We have this natural faith in this world. But most Christians, they worship God and they live their Christian life in that natural faith. But they never come into the place to where they live by the faith of the Son of God. When we come to the place, that place where we live by the faith of the Son of God, then we'll be able to move in the spiritual realm. We'll be able to move beyond that little bottle of faith we have, that, you know, beyond that little, you know, bit of patience that we have, because we'll be tapped in, our focus will be adjusted, and we'll be tapped in to the endless supply of patience and faith. And it will just, boy, this will be a wonderful way to live. When our faith comes to the end of its ability to move, as in Peter's case, we see in man, in himself, it is lacking. His shortcoming and his conclusion and his straightforwardness. Because remember, Romans 3:23 says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we all have sinned, and that conjunction word, and come short of the glory of God. So there's two things moving there. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Jesus took care of our sin on the cross, but he did not take care of our coming short of the glory of God on the cross. It's like he didn't die for our bad attitudes and our, you know, and our bad character flaws and stuff like that. God expects us to take care of our attitudes and our character flaws. But when we do not move in faith, in the faith of the Son of God, when we do not allow God to work in our life, then we are, believe it or not, coming short of the glory of God. We're already saved, yes. Sins dealt with, but we're coming short because we're not allowing God to work in our life. We're not allowing God to enlarge us and teach us and mold us, which happens in the wilderness. And so we need to get into the wilderness so God can work in our life, and then we will not come short of the glory of God. Again, most Christians live their life in the natural faith and not in the faith of God. I wonder what the Christian witness in the world would be if most Christians really lived into the faith of the Son of God. It would just be a different place. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen.